League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Two in the books, that means one to go. 1 hour left of the big show, 60 minutes on the clock as we take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. They're on location at Twin Peaks. It's Raheel in for Fred. AJ, Tyler's on site. Aaron's back here. A cast of thousands, including interns that are trained to rat on us if we talk about the boss.
Yeah, intern Paige. But she's working with Michael Carroll, I think, today.
Well, good. Leave her there.
So she doesn't, I don't think she can document anything and let AJ know. So we're good.
That's
we're
good. Because again, as we mentioned, he is great at sending the darts and lasers at his employees.
What's even better is Barry's not in the studio.
Yeah,
right
he
now.
Does not like it when it comes back at him, so much so that he had our interns, he scared them and intimidated them yesterday into saying that anytime we talked about him, they had to tell him so that he knew, because he's so sensitive, but he always says that's my moniker, but he can talk and blast anybody he wants.
And that way he could respond to every little portion of every little segment that you've ever mentioned, the Blitz, like, AJ, or
do
Fred.
Do you really think when I drive home and I hear that it's going to be him and Barry that I listen? No, for that very reason.
He probably doesn't even care that you talk bad about Fred. As long as you don't talk
that's
about AJ.
Right. You and I saw that on the road. We know how it goes.
Then it's a problem.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right.
The only reason why I'm talking about AJ right now is because he's all the way at Twin Peaks and he can't. We're not face to face.
He's probably driving there.
I think I can outrun AJ, though.
Okay.
I can't whip his ass, but I can outrun him.
Okay.
Well, Barry, right? You would agree with that sentiment?
What? That you can't whip his ass,
no,
but
he can
you can outrun
him?
You
can outrun him.
AJ's fast?
No.
Yeah, he's a big boy. I think he's that fast.
I would describe his running style as lumbering. Jeez. He's got those bad knees, and he's top heavy with that big
right.
ass.
Right. He's got that torn ACL or something, right?
Big ass cabeza he's got, too.
Yeah, cabeza.
He looks like a parade float. But so yeah,
kick him in his knee and I'll start running.
He's
very
top heavy. Yeah, you can outrun him for sure. Yeah. But if he caught you, you're a dead man.
Yeah, that's the problem.
He'll murder your face.
Did y'all see, we were talking about everything that happened yesterday in Toronto with that parade and the unfortunate situation with people getting shot.
Which yeah, was, man.
People aren't even they still haven't figured out why these people
Drake?
Were shot. No, but then they also said that his freaking 767 was flying, Air Drake was flying over the parade all over the place. He is an attention whore like no other.
Nothing makes me vomit more outside of LeVar Ball than
I was going to say, we just talked about probably the
new
two
run
biggest.
Of Drake being, you know, the Mr. Oh, look at me. I'm dude, you're not a raptor. You're a rapper. There's a big, you got
it's
confused.
It's a great point.
You got confused at some point along the way, but guess what, Drake? You don't play for the team.
I was
going to
say, how many points did you score in the finals, Drake?
You don't, yeah, your defense is awful because you sit in a chair. You stop with this. I get it. You're a fan and you're excited for Toronto. Okay, that's fantastic. But you know what? No other, this doesn't happen in any other city. Spike Lee isn't at the parade for the Knicks. He might be there, but he's not. You know what made me the most mad? And we never brought this up.
What's that?
It didn't even make me mad. I was just like, you got to be kidding me. At the watch party for game 6, mm-hmm. he's on that elevated platform
stage.
With his own chair and his posse or group or whatever it is we're supposed to call it. He's surrounded by his boys, and it's like, that's disgusting, dude. Like, you're not above the fans.
Watch
but
watch them win a championship.
Yes, it was awful. I was like, bro, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. It was terrible. And now he's got a plane? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Kill me now.
And I'll tell you this. Like, you know, Marc Gasol was chugging, was like slamming wine.
Yeah.
And then dancing and all that stuff. And that's all fun and games. But we talked about this. Everything that the NBA is right now and Drake and all these other things, hockey is not. So the St. Louis Blues have their parade.
Yep.
And we've said hockey guys are just regular guys. And
yep. They're good. One dude threw up in the parade.
Dude, Zach Sanford didn't just throw up. And I just retweeted it at Pac-Man Joel if you want to see it. They slowed it down too. He annihilated himself with throw up in the back of like a brand new convertible Mercedes or BMW. He's just like chilling down the street and just goes, and just unloads in his own lap. You're in a convertible. Why don't you just lean over the edge and get it on the street or something? But instead, like he's thinking, no one's going to see this. And just right down his own lap, just goes, it's like, okay.
So he is living his best life. There is nothing wrong with that.
Man, I guess. But like, and you know, the guy driving it is like, oh, and he's got to clean that. Jeez, control your alcohol, people. That was crazy. So I was like, well, there's the difference in two parades. St. Louis, it's just the players getting completely crap-faced.
Yeah.
Whereas Toronto, it's just a crap show of all the different people trying to put their mark on the parade and everything else. I mean, there were some funny stuff.
There was apparently some arches that people were climbing on. They had to stop the parade for that.
So, you know, come on, 59?
Toronto, act like you've been... Oh. And you never been there before, so I get it.
Well, you know, like it's on 59, those arches that go over 59, like before the spur?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there was like a couple of those next to each other, and people scaled them and were standing in the middle of them.
It's crazy.
Can you imagine if someone fell off, though, and landed on like one of the buses?
Right.
That wouldn't be good.
Jefe sent us a couple of pictures. He said, ESPN just wants to get clicks. They don't care if it's good or bad content as long as they're getting the clicks. This is why LeVar will always have a seat at their table on their show. And he took some screenshots. And he's got some different clicks and views, right? Like, what else can the Los Angeles Lakers do in free agency? 1 million views. The Lakers are 2020 title favorites is valid from Stephen A. Smith. 754,000 views. And it goes on. But then... the next picture, there's two LeVar Ball articles to read, and one of them has 1.5 million views, and the other one has 1.1 million views. So, again, yeah, when it's got his name attached to it, it's going to be viewed. It's going to be talked about. It's going to be clicked on. They're not going to run away from that.
Yeah, and maybe they are looking for clicks and views, but that's kind of the name of the game. At the same time, I mean, how much credit do you give LeVar Ball for all this, because obviously they brought him on for timing, right? They brought him on right after Lonzo Ball got traded and right after he made his comment that the Lakers would never win a championship. That's like the perfect time to have somebody on and talk about it. And so they didn't plan for him to say that inappropriate comment to Molly. It just happened. So yeah, obviously they took advantage of it, isolated it, and made it something that they can run with. So I mean, that's just the way it is. That's just the name of the game.
John said, what about when Kevin Hart attended the Eagles parade and tried to hold the trophy? Man, good point.
That's another one. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Remember, yeah, he was chastising people to get on the field. And
this is not true.
What?
This cannot be true. If this is true, everything we know that is good in this world is a lie.
What?
It says Drake is getting a ring?
Oh, I don't doubt that at all.
What?
Think about this now.
What?
He has OVO is, let me, let is me sponsoring stop you. The practice facility.
Let me stop you before you go any further. There is nothing that this man did.
Okay, here you go back on your ring thing.
To contribute to the Toronto Raptors winning a championship.
But Barry,
he probably has like a key to the city.
Just like, no, they gave that to
God,
Kawhi.
I'm
no, they gave
vomit.
That to Kawhi yesterday.
I'm going to vomit.
You're going to be the guy in the back of the St. Louis Blues Parade.
Yes. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard
Barry,
of.
But you have to understand,
Toronto,
man.
Toronto, get your crap together.
Just like the Astros, Mattress Mack got a ring. The sponsors get a ring.
Well, so, Mattress Mack
okay,
got a ring.
Okay, and I get it. But what I'm saying is, but Drake sponsors the practice
facility.
Well, if
you're okay with Mattress Mack getting a ring, then you have to be okay with Drake getting a ring.
Yeah, because
first of
he
all,
sponsors
I don't
the,
have to.
He
I mean,
sponsors
Drake,
the practice facility.
Second of all, Mattress Mack got a ring for just as much of what he does for this community and the Hurricane Harvey selflessness.
But what makes you think Drake is not doing that for Toronto?
Listen,
though?
Mattress Mack, you guys.
Other
I'll,
sponsors
I'll fight
got him?
Both of you.
Other sponsors got him?
Did they really?
Yeah. And because
I'm against
because
that,
Drake
but
is truthful,
Drake's not
because
a sponsor.
Remember this too.
Oh, Drake's
yes, he
not
is.
A sponsor.
Yes, he
no.
is. Yes, he is because his company and the OVO is all over.
What does OVO stand for, by the way?
I don't know, but that's the
Over
official.
It's a company that he...
Yeah,
I know.
That's his company, and that's the official sponsor of the practice facility. It's all over the practice facility. So he's a sponsor. God. And then when you make sure, whenever they had the interaction with the players and otherwise, he's a season ticket holder because he sits there. But the key is, he's whether they call him an ambassador or whatever title they give him.
Stop that.
They say he's a part of the organization, which is why the NBA got involved with him and his interactions on the court. But as an ambassador or affiliated with the organization means he's getting a ring.
There's nothing sacred in this world if he's getting a ring. I'm sorry. There's nothing sacred in this world. Somebody said, what's the big deal? Everyone in Houston got an Astros ring.
I was thinking of that too. But a real one. The real ones went to like sponsors. And
do they really give sponsors?
Oh, the general manager or the head of the cluster for iHeart. Because they were the flagship of the Astros.
What?
He got one.
What?
Yep. He got one. He sure did.
Does the broadcast home all get them?
It depends. I mean, and you get different sizes. You get different kinds.
Yeah, some with diamonds, some without.
Yeah, and some bigger, some smaller. Like the engineer that worked every single game for the network probably got some kind of ring with his name engraved in it, but it's not going to be the same ring.
How many do you have? You have one or two, Joel?
I have five.
Dang.
I got two Rockets and what, four Comets? Five or six. I got all the Comets rings too.
I'll give you $20 for all of them.
No, that's okay.
All of them.
No, I like to make them a necklace and wear them around the house. Jerry Rice does that, not me.
The OVO logo was on the side of their championship hats?
Yeah.
This has gone too far.
That owl thing or whatever it is, that's all over the practice facility. They use it everywhere. Yeah, so there's no doubt he got a ring.
This has just gone too far.
Okay. So to wrap it up.
October's very own, huh? That's interesting.
That's what it stands for?
Yeah, October's very own.
What is that? What is the point of October?
It's the literal horoscopic meaning. Drake formed the clan alongside co-founders Noah 40 Shabib and Oliver El-Khatib,
The clan?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what they're calling themselves, a clan?
But that's what it stands for. October's very own. Yeah.
And so I'm guessing Drake was born in October?
That's what I was going to say.
Let me see. I don't know. That's interesting.
I'm on Wiki. How come it didn't have his birthday on here? Oh, yeah. October 24th.
There you go.
And born in Toronto, Ontario.
OVO is also the sponsor of their jerseys.
Of the jerseys?
Mm-hmm. You know, like every jersey gets one sponsor?
Yes. Is it really?
It's the record label that Drake owns.
They need to change their thing to We the Now. Just stop. No.
Yeah,
We the Now, Drake. We don't need your money anymore.
If we want to wrap it up, though, at least one positive. For as much as Kawhi Leonard got hammered for the interview he did to start the season with his laugh and how everybody replayed it, he tried to get back at everybody and only the way only Kawhi can in Kawhi fashion. He wrapped up his speech with telling everybody, basically, with his laugh, sounded like this.
Enjoy this moment, and have fun with it. A ha, 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 ha.
That's outstanding. Yeah.
And the players love it.
That's outstanding.
And it shows he's got personality.
Yeah. Well, he's Mr. Fun.
Oh, all I know is, was it, board man gets paid.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, speaking of getting paid, Get Upside gets you paid, too. As the assist from Pac-Man Joel. Bing, bing, bing. Hey, if you like getting cash back for stuff you're already paying for, you know, like you clip coupons, or maybe you go, you know, when it's buy one, get one free or stuff like that. You know what? Get Upside does that year round. You don't have to just wait for a sale. Like, Get Upside offers you cash back on gas and food all the time. And it's always going to vary, like, based on where you are in the city of Houston or, you know, what the restaurant is doing that day. But the beautiful thing is you can always get cash back. And that number varies. But, man, sometimes you can get some great deals. And, like, we have listeners with $300 in their account. This is real money. You're not paying for this service. You're not paying a fee. They're not taking half of what you get back. And no, none of that's true. You just get the money. And then what I really like is you can get it in cash, or you could get like an AMC gift card or an Amazon gift card. You have all kinds of options you can do with that money you get through the Get Upside app. Make sure you put in my promo code Barry. And the reason why is it's like a little seed money you're going to get. Normally, your first fill up, you get a really good discount or cash back offer from Get Upside. And then with my promo code, it's even higher. My wife got 30 cents a gallon
on her first fill-up. That's crazy good. And that gets you started, and then you can start, you know, going to Wendy's and getting 35% cash back or up to that amount. And I know there's a Wendy's in town that has 35%, so it's doable. I promise you that. But you know what? Even if you're only getting 20% cash back on your meal, if you did that every day this week, you would get a free meal basically, because 20 times 5 is 100%. Dude, don't leave money at the table. Don't leave money at the gas pump. If someone offered you $5 at the pump while you're filling up, you're going to take it. So download GetUpside, put it on your phone, put in my promo code Barry, start getting that cash back. Send me a screenshot. I want to see it. And thank me later.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the final hour of the show. ESPN 97.5, Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Tuesday in the big city. Let's just put this belt ball thing to bed, too. I said it, and I'll stand by it a million times over. Lonzo's the only one they can play. The other two, get out of here, okay? And I'm avoiding the one letter that should be in that, because some people are, like, sending me messages about, you know, LaMelo. LaMelo had his shot when he was at UCLA, stole sunglasses. He's not there anymore. He's bouncing around trying to stay relevant. He's garbage. And the kid, he's not going to try and play in Australia. He played in Lithuania. His dad screwed up his eligibility. Mm. He's a gunner that shoots every shot with an ugly shot. And you know what? If he wants to prove me wrong in about 5, 6, 7 years when he matures and makes, maybe so, but for now, he's garbage. I'm done.
Okay.
Thank you.
You feel better?
I do, a little bit. I had to recover.
I do agree about his son.
Sons.
I mean, they're really all garbage, aren't they?
Even Lonzo right now, yeah. Going from the number two pick in the draft, looks like a guy like they're hoping he finds it. Like he straightens his shot out and he can be... Look, he passes well. He handles the ball well. He seems a little off, but I think that... He still has a window
he
where
wasn't
if he
worthy
can,
of where he was
if he
picked.
Can he was, exactly he, right. He let me ask you a question, and I think all three of us are on the same page. You have that draft. You have the number to pick. Who are you taking? Jason Tatum?
Yeah.
Or Lonzo Ball?
What year was it? 2017?
I believe so. Yes. 2 years ago.
It was 17 because that was the year.
And the Sixers, you want egg on your face? You allowed Boston, you traded with Boston, gave them an extra pick. Extra first-round pick to draft Markelle Fultz because Boston knew all along the guy they wanted, Jason Tatum, they were going to get all the way down at 3 because the people running the two front offices in Philly and L.A. were enamored with guys that couldn't play, couldn't shoot, could not shoot either guy.
Some of the names on this list that people passed on.
2 years ago.
So, obviously, Markelle Fultz.
Yep.
Lonzo Ball.
Yep.
Jason Tatum was third.
Right.
Josh Jackson was fourth. Yeah. De'Aaron Fox was fifth.
He's great.
Yep. Dennis Smith Jr. was ninth.
He's okay.
Zach Collins, 10. Donovan Mitchell, 13.
That's a big one.
That's the one where I was
Donovan Mitchell will be the more recent draft generation's Kawhi Leonard.
Donovan Mitchell at 13 made me just go, oof, yeah, on Kawhi's- all those other names. And then Kyle Kuzma at 27.
Was huge.
Yeah.
What you think about that?
Kawhi? He looked weird though. Kyle Kuzma coming out of going into the draft, dude. He didn't look like he could play. It was his
But it was his workouts that changed people's mind. Because you're right. He looked kind of skinny.
He looked lanky. He looked
yeah.
Like
he looked skinny. He had to fill out. But his workouts, when people saw him shoot the ball, and unlike Fultz and Ball, he had good form. He had good touch. And they were like, oh, here's a guy. Unlike Hashim Thabeet. You could tell this guy could put on some weight. He could lift some weights and eat a little more, and he could fill out. And he had NBA talent. That's why people saw something in him. But you look at it. Kawhi was the 15th pick in the first round. To have Spider Mitchell taken at 13. Dennis Lindsay, oh, by the way, ex-Rockets personnel mm-hmm. guy that wanted to be the GM of the Rockets. Great find right there.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic pick.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. That's a crazy thing. The draft is Thursday.
That is crazy.
I kind of want to watch it, actually, though. I'm looking forward to it. So
I know that's shocking to you guys. I love watching it. But again, look at it because I love all the trades and the transactions and stuff that could go on. But now you look at it. The NBA has done one hell of a job of staying relevant. The finals are over, right? And we're still talking about, you know.
It's all thanks to LeVar Ball.
You didn't have to do that. So the Laker trade of Anthony Davis has people still talking. The parade has people talking. The draft's going to have people talking. Next week, they're going to do their award show with the MVP and all that.
Yep.
That'll have people talking. Free agency talk starts tonight, and teams can talk to all the available free agents starting tonight.
Who's talking to Chris Paul?
He's not free, so nobody.
Oh, you can't talk. Oh, it's only the free agents.
Only the free agents. Right. Yeah. So all the max.
So there'll be some illegal tampering going down with Chris Paul.
There is. Right. There will be legal tampering with all the free agents. There might be some illegal tampering when Chris Paul is in LA talking to peeps.
This is a good time to bring it up. I teased it in the previous hour, and then we got on Tracy Cowley's tweet thing. But there were names that keep popping up. Chris Paul, Kawhi Leonard, KD, you know, Kyrie Irving. These are a lot of names.
Either free agents or guys that might be open for trade, you mean?
Yes. Okay. Like just in general, the off season of the NBA and movement and where people are going to land and whatnot. Name that popped up, Patrick Beverley.
He's going to get paid, bro.
He hints he will sign for most money in free agency. He said on his Instagram account, just real simple, or was it his Twitter? It was his Twitter account, just one quick post. And it said, never personal, just business.
Because someone else had tweeted to him, hey, I hear the Lakers are interested in you too. And he's like, this bleep is getting real. But basically, yeah, he's going to get, you know what he's going to get?
I saw a number. Well,
probably going to get 15, right? 15, 20.
I saw 10.
The starting salary that they thought would open the negotiations without competition was 10, but yeah. Nick, you're right. Because now the Clippers, they're saying there's up to 5 teams that really want him. That negotiations and bidding war could get it to 15 a year for Patrick Beverley.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I was thinking something a little bit less than Clint Capella is what I was thinking.
His last contract was 4 years, $23 million.
Mm-hmm. Which wasn't bad for him.
No.
But when you start talking about Pat Bev being a 10 to 15 mil a year guy, that Clint Capella contract is a deal.
It is.
It is a steal for a lot of teams.
It's a great deal.
The more these big deals and this big money gets thrown around, Clint Capella is more and more of a bargain chip that you might want to hang on to more than unload unless you can get better. And again, the thing is you got to get better because now the other rumor that's out there is, and I don't know if this was a smart move, Al Horford opted out of his player option and passed on $31 million for next year.
That was not smart at all.
You ain't getting that next year from anyone, Al.
No, you're not.
But if your objective is to just win a title, I'm sure you'll have opportunities. The Rockets would love to have Al Horford instead of Clint Capella when you talk about a center that can shoot threes and can still rebound and play D. But they're not
going to pay him $30 million.
No, they can't.
By the way, real quick before we go to break, just want to give a shout out to Brandon Fox. Signed up, sent me some screenshots. Appreciate you, buddy.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
For good upside?
Yeah, man. We're moving and shaking over here, fellas. Getting money, getting paid.
Save the shaking. Keep moving.
I know. Well, jiggling. I just naturally.
They're jiggling, jiggle. Baby. Go ahead, baby. We'll be back with more of the final half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Turmoil? What turmoil? I got people on Twitter saying there's no turmoil between James Harden and Chris Paul. Shut the hell up, people. Because you know what? If you're just this random thespian, Daryl Morey, fuzzy pajama wearing guy that came at me Friday that said that it's horse bleep. Or if you're just Joe Blow fans that's been chiming in saying, there's no trouble between the two best players on the Rockets because I drink red Kool-Aid. Well, the stories just keep flying in and piling in.
I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
How did you get audio from Ben? It's getting worse, ain't it?
It looks like.
It is getting worse. Tim McMahon wrote a story on ESPN that then CBS picked up. And so Jack Maloney kind of linked to it and talked about some other things. But the headline on this story says, Rockets' James Harden, Chris Paul spent much of last season struggling to coexist per report. Then there was this whole section that I found to be pretty interesting. Some of it we've discussed, but some of it we've discussed in a different way. For example, it says, Chris wants to coach James. Says a source familiar with the Stars' dynamic. James looks at him like, you can't even beat your man. Just shut up and watch me. Then there's another part where it says, Harden by nature tends to avoid conflict, but was pushed hard enough to snap back at Paul from time to time. That's what happened during the Rockets' elimination loss when, team sources said, Harden told Paul he didn't always know best and talk too much. Now, here's a direct quote. It says, Chris has a personality where he just doesn't let anything go, a team source says. He just keeps pestering and pestering and pestering and pestering. Sometimes James has had enough, and not just him. That's what makes Paul a winner and also what keeps him from being a big-time winner. He's got to temper that.
You know what got worse?
What, the key in that is not just James. Other people were sick of Chris Paul stuff.
Oh, no.
Is what they're saying.
I've been on record saying that. I've seen Clint Capella roll his eyes on the podium sitting next to Chris Paul while he was talking.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Just because he was saying, like, I know. He rolled his eyes while he was saying, I know Clint Capella is getting annoyed by us always, you know, directing him and giving him advice and stuff like that, but he's always being a team player and blah, blah, blah. And I saw Clint Capella roll his eyes. I remember seeing that distinctively, but I can see that happening in any team at the same time.
Here's what's not healthy, too. When Paul was on the floor, and both the articles notate this, and I've heard this before this, Chris Paul was so adamant to, like, when you, to your point, Barry, about what you were saying about Chris. If he's on the floor with the second unit and Harden is sitting on the bench, and he starts making things happen with assists, and he starts making shots, he would yell to the bench, leave him there. Leave him sitting there. See what we do when he's sitting there. That's when it's cancerous. That's when you get to the point of, you know, like us and AJ. Child, you know, kind of, you know, playfully kidding and taking jabs at each other. But at the end of the day, we all know whose team we're on, and we're going to have each other's backs if we go to war with anybody else. That's when you cross the line, when you're shouting at your head coach to leave your best player on the bench. And then, to show you what control Mike D'Antoni didn't have, Harden would get up and walk past D'Antoni and go, well, that's the end of that. I'm going back in right now.
Wow, that's
so that's pretty dysfunctional. How much of a dysfunctional family they got going on right now over there.
Yeah, that's pretty dysfunctional.
Seems so functional when you're winning however many games it was that one season. Was it 65
games? 2 years ago.
It's always easy to get along when you're winning.
But the other thing is, what did I keep harping to you guys? It's a great regular season approach, and that 65 wins is a perfect example of it. But in the playoffs, when you can take you and your assistants and you can start trying to scheme to beat that offense, it's a whole hell of a lot easier when you know one guy and only one guy is going to have the ball for 19 seconds of every 24-second shot clock unless they're running the fast break than it is if you're running action and motion and other guys are handling the ball and other guys are getting shots.
Well, I mean, that's kind of all water under the bridge now. They've got to figure out what they do, and that's the problem. If you've got all this and you know it exists, but you can't get rid of Chris, you're not getting rid of James,
right.
Now what? I mean, is there anyone out there willing to trade for Chris Paul?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, I can't imagine that people are clamoring to get his contract.
I kicked the tires on it. I asked some people in the know that are really deep into teams and free agency and interest. And the biggest, there's obviously the first setback is that contract. But more so, if Chris Paul could still play. If Chris Paul was playing like he was playing even 2 years ago, there would be teams willing to take a flyer and at least explore discussions about trading for him. But what he showed at the end of the season was enough for a lot of teams to go, yeah, no, I think there's one thing to where you say because of the offensive system, you slipped up a little bit. But based on what he showed in that body of work, there's a lot of people that are like, they're not believing he's ever going to get it back.
So I Googled it while you were saying that. Mm-hmm. Now, do any of these teams make sense? And the very first one kind of does, but Charlotte Hornets.
It makes sense in what regard? For the Rockets?
Well, I mean...
Like, just, if they lose Kemba Walker, okay?
Because the point that they say is Paul's home state, a franchise owned by a guy whose name adorns Paul's sneaker deal, and general managed by Mitch Kupchak.
Yeah, he's a Jordan guy, and he's from Carolina, and all those things. And if you lose Kemba Walker...
Kupchak has traded for Paul before.
But again, if you're not willing to pay Kemba Walker, who's in his prime... as a young point guard, then why in the world are you going to trade for Chris Paul? And here's from a Rockets perspective, before the fans even go, well, there's a good team for him. What are you getting in return? Because that's the biggest thing. So here's what it
says. This is the deal that they say. They suggest to get such a deal done, the Hornets would have to offer a package of Nicholas Batum, Marvin Williams, and Bismack Biyombo, plus some protected draft compensation. You go with that? Yeah, but you're out from under Paul's contract.
You're out from under the contract, but you're also out of the playoff race for a championship, in my opinion.
Depends. Could you flip some of that and get a guy, free up some room?
I don't think anybody's knocking down your door for Bismack Biyombo or Marvin Williams. And Batum, who won at one point, was a really good starting player in this league.
But, I mean, Biyombo, or however the hell you say
it, Bismack Biyombo.
He's going to back up Capella. But, I mean, that was one of their problems. They really didn't have a backup for Capella.
You're right, but can I tell you something? Bismack Biyombo makes Clint Capella look like an offensive force.
Really?
He's awful.
Okay.
Awful offensively. So he could fill the Nene. He could fill that Nene role without the offense.
All right. So then they say Indiana Pacers.
For Chris Paul?
Yeah, that was a potential landing spot.
What are you getting back?
Suggested by Hoops Hype.
Oh, wow. That's actually a reputable site, but what are you getting back?
That's why I'm like, okay, this isn't so far-fetched. It says to do so, Indiana would have to renounce the free agent rights to all of their impending free agents and offer the Rockets a deal, including Dougie McBuckets, Doug McDermott, TJ Leaf, Elise Johnson, and protected draft compensation.
Again, of those names, one has potential, and one gives you a three-point shooter that should fit into your system, but not well enough to say that you're getting more in return than giving up Chris Paul.
All right, and then it says Boston.
Phoenix is one I've heard a lot.
It says, although Paul's contract may be ugly, the Celtics have their own problems with Gordon Hayward. Hayward did have a stretch of where he improved. A one-for-one swap here could benefit all parties involved.
You've said that. You've really said that.
Yeah. Paul's pass first style might fit better on the young team with Brown and Tatum. And then Hayward could get a much needed fresh start in Houston with James Harden.
I don't know if he can ever play again at the level he played before he got hurt.
That actually might be a deal I'd be interested in, even though.
Didn't say that when I said it. Wait, you wait till Hoops Height says it.
Well, he's smart. God. It's verified.
But Hayward is, even if Hayward doesn't do well.
But think about it, Nick. If you're Gordon Hayward, you're not jazzed about that, because now you go from a team where you couldn't get the ball and you had a real point guard to a guy playing the same position of you who hogs the ball, and you're never going to see the ball in Houston.
Yeah, but you have a chance to start.
They put him in the rotation. He starts hitting shots. He doesn't necessarily have to be incredibly mobile. If he starts hitting three-point shots, you might get a little bit of a trusting leash from Mike D'Antoni. And somehow, some way, if he sticks to the whole three-point shooting mentality.
Okay.
So you're getting one left here, too. You're out a year early.
What's the contract difference? He's got two years left. So
he's got this year at 32 and then a player option at 34.
Are you a better team with Chris Paul or Gordon Hayward for the next 2 years?
You're not in a situation where you're going to get better than Gordon Hayward.
Because the thing about Gordon Hayward.
Because your owner's going to make you be. Your owner has said you better compete for a championship.
Yeah, well.
But you could also, if you could get them to do a one-for-one, you could potentially even flip Hayward to a team that's looking for a guy like that. And he's going to want to prove himself, obviously, and get off a bench and get a starting role somewhere.
No matter where you're trying to shop him is, you got to get better.
But it would be easier to flip a Gordon Hayward to somebody that feels like they're, a small forward away than to try to flip Chris Paul in that contract to somebody that thinks they're a point guard.
But if it's only 1 year less than what Chris Paul's contract is, many teams are still going to frown on it. They're still going to frown on it because they know they're going to be in purgatory for 2 years.
I mean, the last year is a player option. And if he proves himself in 2020 or 2019, 2020, then he might be able to, if money goes up, he might have a chance to. I mean, I don't think he's going to get more than 34 mil, but that's just a 1 year deal.
Okay.
I mean, that's just a 1 year, and then he's a free agent. So you take advantage. If you have a bounce-back year in 2019, 2020, and prove yourself, and prove you're the old Gordon Hayward, do you go ahead and accept that option and risk not being that guy in 2021 Or do you go ahead and hit the free agent market and take advantage of it at that moment?
I think the safe to say thing is that there aren't going to be many good options.
Well,
and the bottom line
of
is,
all that though,
but I'm saying
I would flip Chris Paul for Gordon Hayward. I absolutely would do that.
My biggest thing with the Rockets right now is put up and shut up. I'm tired of all the talk, and I don't want to hear Daryl tell me that they want to add a third superstar. How are you going to do it? And do it.
If the last one on the list, by the way, was the Knicks.
Well, good luck with
that. But they didn't have anything listed for players because I feel like
because you're not getting anything. It's tough to do.
Yeah.
All right, we got one segment to go on the show before we turn it over to the Blitz. So you hang in there with us, and then Fred's out. Raheel is in. They are at Twin Peaks, and they'll take you home from 4 until 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for the final segment of the show on a Tuesday. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be. In the big city. Tomorrow, again, we remind you, the occasional invitational. We're going to be at Wildcat. All the shows will be broadcasting 7A to 7P at Wildcat. Jerry Bowe and Josh Jordan from Moneyline are going to be filling in for the Blitz tomorrow.
Okay.
Us, Charlie, and then, of course, the morning shows until Granato has to tee off and hit balls and do all the things that he does.
Somebody said, can y'all please check Brett Favre's Instagram? He says he's coming out of retirement for the 2020 season. I don't see that. I do see, though, curiously, strangely almost, the third pick is him and your boy, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Aaron Rodgers side by side, and he's like, honored to present the most memorable moment to number 12 tonight. I thought they were enemies.
Well, they solved it. Then they buried it. They buried it at the NFL awards ceremony a couple years ago.
Okay.
Because they were able to do, which is very cool, and I had wanted one for, and I don't know if they still have them, but they did a photo shoot with Bart Starr as the three greatest quarterbacks in the history of the franchise.
Gotcha.
And that was very cool. And they buried it before that.
Aaron Rodgers is kind of rocking the porn stash in this.
He does it all the time. Off and on. He brings it back. Weird. He gets rid of it. Yeah, I don't get it.
But I see nothing on Favre's Instagram about returning, and I doubt he would.
Good luck to whichever team takes him.
Yeah.
This is what I was talking about earlier.
Experiment.
That I don't know if you saw this or not. And actually, Lisa had it on the morning show this morning as well. New York Post is reporting that men with a dad bod or a slight belly and distinct lack of, how did they put it?
Definition?
No, machismo. Lack of cheese grater abs are officially more attractive than they were in the past. Dad bods have been a thing since around 2016. According to Planet Fitness, the modern body type's popularity is on the up. Despite the abundance of chiseled men on TV and in magazines, it does appear that women prefer the dad bod.
I don't believe that.
I don't either.
I don't either. Believe for one second that a woman looks at some portly dude and goes, hold me back. He is so hot. Look how his gut forces his underwear band to fold in half. Oh, God. Oh!
We had an athlete from Vortex, and she was like, or I guess had like a trainer, but they called him athlete.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And she was like, girls don't like dudes with flimsy asses.
No.
That's what she said on the air.
No.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't believe for one second that the dad bod is considered hot. I really don't think
so. And of course, this is Planet Fitness, where you pay you pay like a dollar a month, and there's no pressure and no all this other stuff.
Is it that bad?
But it says, it's like They said, according to Planet Fitness's survey, 78% of people think confidence is actually king. And nearly 4 in 5 among both women and men believe a dad bod is a sign of a man who is confident in his own skin.
No.
Or just lazy and doesn't want to go to the gym.
It's a sign of a lazy guy that likes ice cream.
Yeah.
Trust me. I have a dad bod, and that's not about confidence.
I feel the confidence part. I mean, if you're super confident, I can see how that can supplement for what you lack, but...
I kind of feel like...
this is an ad to get people to join Planet Fitness.
No, I kind of feel like confidence wouldn't even be the number one thing. If you asked women, and I'm not just saying this because of who I am.
Personality?
No.
Sense of humor?
Sense of humor is always... Every list I've ever seen about what women find most attractive in a man... Number one, because women aren't as superficial. If you ask a dude, it's always going to be looks.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Women are superficial in a different way. Just
but,
like when
but
we talk
number
about-
one on a list, if you're picking up a woman, if, okay, if there's a dude that's an 8 and a dude that's a 6, and the 6 is funny, he's engaging, he makes her laugh, he's entertaining, she's having a good time. And the 8, he's got great abs, but he's boring, and he's narcissistic, or he talks about himself the whole time, and all the things that he's done, and never talks to her or whatever. He's not funny. He's not entertaining. I guarantee you, not all women, but the majority of women would say they would rather go on a date with the 6 than the 8.
I don't disagree with that.
Dudes,
but I'll say,
are always
going to
go.
Women are superficial
give me the
in another
8.
Way. Just like we told for Tracy's friend, that what guys are looking at, women are looking at the pocketbook. There's a lot of women that are worried about what that dude is making, what does he do for a living, and what kind of lifestyle can they lead while they're together, just like dudes are looking at superficial things with body and face and all those other things. So it's a war within, it's the battle within the war, so
somebody
to speak.
I said it's because it just allows women to be sloppy. No. I mean, I'm with you. I think women look for money, but that's not. I think those women... are outnumbered substantially by the women not looking for money.
But I think what you're talking about too.
There are some greedy assholes, let's be real.
Yes.
But what you're talking about too, like the sense of humor and the fact that, you know, they're engaging and stuff, that's kind of like confidence.
I mean, it comes across as confident, but I think just being able to make a woman laugh is huge.
some of the terms on this, it says... it's not, Nick, to your point, for those unaware, the dad bod requirements, it's less about total disregard for your health and physical appearance and more about embracing the small, doughy sections that come from not going 19 times a day, and that the guys that are referred to as pectoral Petes that we see are not realistic in terms of the people that you see regularly on a day-to-day basis.
Okay. Somebody said apparently y'all missed Holly's thing on the Blitz. Yeah.
When?
I don't know.
That she's into dad bods or something like that?
I don't know. I don't know if she was into dad bods or built guy. I mean, of course there's...
Everybody's got different tastes.
Yeah, I'm talking in generalities, you know, and you're right. Confidence and sense of humor can be like, if you're confident, you're more relaxed, you're going to have more fun, you're going to be more entertaining, more engaging. But even then... Because, you know, when it comes to women, I'm not a confident dude, but I can make a woman laugh. Mm-hmm. So it comes across as that because, you know.
You get the guys, too. You got something. You could be a comedian.
Okay.
They said numbers-wise.
I didn't like where that was going.
At all.
You get the guys, too?
65% of people say that the dad bod is attractive, while 61% said men with dad bods are sexy, which is up 10% from last year.
I just don't believe that.
I don't either, really.
Who are they polling?
People that are debating joining Planet Fitness. I don't know.
Yeah, I find that.
Because, you know, they're the non-guilt zone.
Is that what it is?
They're part of their deal is they're home of the non-guilt zone.
Hmm.
It says, okay. Dad bods have made people more relaxed, to your point, 46% versus 37%. Men who say their dad bod has improved their life this year claim their body type has helped them accept themselves better at 48% or made them less concerned with their appearance, 47%.
Somebody just said millennial women definitely like dad bods.
I completely disagree. Completely disagree.
Well, if they got daddy's pocketbook, I think it changes everything. If daddy's an established businessman with a big fat wallet, they're more apt to accept
the dad bod.
That's right. Because under the dad bod belly on one side is what you have to work with, and under the dad belly on the other side with the back fat is the pocketbook you get to play with.
You can't have a belly in the back?
Some people got ass fat,
buddy. That's not how bellies work.
Oh, just like there's a reverse button front with some of these folks.
No, that's not how bellies work.
When they pull their pants up and their belly makes a button front. Yeah, you can still have some saddlebags in back, Chief.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, there are big people that
now
have,
you're going up there. Now you're talking about side boobies.
No, that looks like a bulldog's jowls in the back.
Okay.
But you can't have a belly in the back. That's not how a belly works. Your belly is up front. That's why it's called a belly button. It's not. There's no back belly button.
Dude,
a belly back button.
A muffin
button.
Top isn't halfway around.
No, that's not. But that's not the belly.
That's why people don't like back fat. Because when you know you're officially big when you got back fat.
Damn. I think I got a little back fat.
I was just sitting there thinking, damn, man.
Sucks.
I do have back fat.
God, y'all always Planet make me feel terrible.
I could pinch an inch in the back. That ain't good.
Planet Fitness would be welcome. They'd be welcoming you with open arms. Man. It's a non-guilt zone.
And somebody said, Holly basically says she liked fluffy guys.
Oh, she's not, lying through her teeth.
Not fit guys.
She's lying.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
Those of us that know Holly, she's lying. Okay, well, that'll be about do it for us for today. So tomorrow, Wildcat Golf Club, how many times do I have to remind you?
Just text me at about 11.
12:30. Text him at 12:30.
No, because at 12:30, we'll be getting the first text from him going, fellas, I might be cutting it close today.
That was on time.
You were.
I just try to give you guys a
courtesy. You wear the same outfit tomorrow.
I try to give you guys a courtesy heads up. Don't put it past me.
You could.
If I can't find any shorts that fit, I might wear these again.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. Unlike your jeans, you can wash them.
I'll swash them.
Okay. There you have it. All right. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. You guys have a great night, everybody. The Blitz is next from Twin Peaks. We're healing for Fred right here on ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.